throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kauf with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Thursday morning out there, Western Oklahoma, Eastern Texas Panhandle. Uh-oh, that's the weather. It's not the sports. Anyhow, welcome to The Skinny on Sports. 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. We got a whole bunch of stuff to talk about. End of the show, we'll hit a little NFL draft. The draft starts tonight with the first round. There's lots of smoke around J.J. McCarthy. Where will he actually end up?
Well, according to sources.
Which one? There's lots of sources out there.
A lot of crazy sources.
I mean, you're starting to hear and build smoke that Jim Harbaugh would really consider trading Justin Herbert and picking J.J. McCarthy. Holy Moses.
Dum-da-dum-dum-dum.
I say, where will he end up? I think that's like the main question tonight.
If he ends up in Minnesota, then Herbert would have to be ecstatic about that situation.
Oh, my gosh.
And so would Minnesota.
If Minnesota isn't burning down the phone lines to the Chargers right now.
The smoke is real.
Oh, my goodness. Talk about a team. Put Herbert with those weapons? Goodness. So where will J.J. McCarthy end up? And then I think another kind of question is, will this draft tie that 1983 draft? And what does that mean? 6 quarterbacks taken in the first round. Could that happen tonight? Who will Dallas take at 24? Who will they take? And who do you want them to take at the 24th pick? NBA playoffs last night, the rest of the country finally got to see what we've been watching all year long, and that is an incredibly young, incredibly fun Thunder team making shots, sharing the basketball, having fun. I mean, that looked like a regular season game in the month of January, right, last night, as the Thunder just blew the Pelicans off the map.
I want to bark right now.
I turned on the microphones, I almost started barking into the mic to start the show.
I was listening in on the way in to the Morning Animals, or kind of talk about that. I thought that'd be really cool if, like, one caller sometime today just called in, and all they did was bark.
Just barked the whole time.
And everybody would know what they're doing.
Oh, absolutely. This is probably a little bit prisoner of the moment question, but I think there's some merit to this. Is this version better than what we saw in the first version of the Thunder? And then could we have been more right about that game last night? I mean, I hate to give it up to myself in honor of Jim, but I'm going to have to give it up to myself.
You called for a blowout. You're right.
And how it happened.
I just said they'd be fine, and yeah.
But how it happened, more importantly.
Right, yeah.
Chet basically ran Valanciunas. Valanciunas, I thought at one point he was going to score 150 points. So what do you have, the first 11?
The way he started.
I think he had the first 11, but then Chet started making threes. Chet ended up with 15 in the first quarter, and guess what you didn't see? Very much more of Jonas Valanciunas. Only played 23 minutes, and that is absolutely the recipe for the Thunder to win this series quickly. Boston, what happened? What happened, Celts? Is there a more underrated franchise in the league? Like, at what point do we just have to remember it's Spoelstra and the Heat? It almost doesn't even matter who's on the floor.
It's true.
It's still Eric Spoelstra, Pat Riley, and the Miami Heat. What an impressive win last night in Boston to even that series at 1-1. Now the question that I would like to ask you and all the listeners is, of the road teams that were able to snatch home court advantage away, who do you trust the most to win a series? Or do you trust somebody that's down 0-2 to flip the script? And then we got a bunch of high school stuff to talk about, from girls golf regionals yesterday. We have baseball fast pitch regionals played yesterday, some coming today. And then congratulations to a former guest, and I'm sure a future guest on this show at some point, our man Ryder Cowan, lifting the Sooners into second in the Big 12 men's golf conference tournament. Texas just absolutely obliterated everybody, shooting 25 under over the last two rounds to win by 18 shots over the Sooners, but OU second, OSU third. And Ryder Cowan, all tournament team with a tied for fourth. We'll tell you about his round yesterday as well. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. That is 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of that stuff or whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime right in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. You can log on to KADSAM.com or download the app. The app has it all. Paragon Communications app is free. It's got radio. It's got the Penny News. Brand new edition of that Penny News hit the website a couple of nights ago. You can pick up a free copy of the Penny News right now as it's out there. Check out the deals in this week's Penny News. Big Elk TV was on the air yesterday at Girls Golf with some updates today. Two baseball games we'll tell you about coming up here this afternoon for the Big Elks. And, of course, the Skinny on Sports podcast. If you missed the show entirely, you can find us anywhere. How are you today, Jared?
Very good. How are you doing?
Wonderful.
I can tell weather's on your mind.
Weather.
What do you think?
Man, I don't know. It feels pretty stormy.
Feels soupy out
there. Feels like a stormy day out there in western Oklahoma. We'll see what happens. I know it's later on this evening. Where chances, I mean, anywhere from, I don't know, they're kind of having a hard time bullseyeing a time, it seems like.
It seemed later and later.
Yeah, later. And this morning, it feels like the bullseye area is starting to lift north. More Woodward north from what I've seen this morning.
Good for us. Bad for Woodward, but that'd be nice.
But it's there's no doubt about it. Be weather aware. Whose week is it? Sean's? Sean will be here to tell you all about it. If weather breaks out, you can tune into any of the Paragon stations. At least he's supposed to be.
Let's just hope he doesn't turn you into a liar right there.
He's supposed to be anyhow. No.
I'm not sure Sean knows what day it is right now.
Thursday.
It's his week.
We'll have to remind him of that.
I think we're doing that right now.
Hopefully he's listening. All right, so yesterday, high school spring sports playoffs kicked into high gear. Girls golf regional tournaments all across the great state of Oklahoma. There was one, a 4A regional held right here in the great town of Elk City at the wonderful Elk City Golf and Country Club. And the I-40 schools dominated that regional.
As they should.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I think everybody thought it would go, and that's the way it went. So Clinton is this region champion. Lady Reds fired a team score of 332. A pair of Addisons from Clinton tied for medalist honors. Addison Litke and Addison Newcomb, they both shot 81. Joe Ray's granddaughter, Riley Cummins, shot 83. She tied for third. Kat Meacham, which here's what's crazy about Kat Meacham. She is a Division I, like, discus and hammer thrower. And she takes time out of that busy schedule to go to the golf course and shoot an 87, help her team to the title. And then Grace Meacham shot 90. So Clinton wins. The Addisons played off. Newcomb beat Litke for the medalist honors. I'm sure they didn't want to do that, but you have to do it. I mean, it's just, you know, the OSSA playoffs, you got to do it. So Clinton wins at 332. The Elk City Elkettes came home second, two shots ahead of Weatherford. So the Elkettes shoot 367. Cameron Edney led the brown and white with an 85. She was fifth place overall in the golf tournament. Jaden Manning shot 87. Megan Suter, 97, Aaron Womack, 98, and Madeline Long, 99. It's interesting with Megan. You know, when you lose something, other places gain as far as a program.
Yeah.
And so I don't know that Megan would be out there if there was slow pitch softball.
Oh, yeah.
I think you see a lot of that with track as well. I know the track team picks up some girls that maybe they wouldn't have. So great. That's great. Hmm. I honestly didn't realize she was playing golf. I'm glad to see her out there because she's a really good softball player. But without slow pitch, it opens up other options. And hey, here we go. And so Megan shot 97, Aaron Womack 98, and Madeline Long 99 for the Elkettes. And then Weatherford was third as a team. They shot 369, so two behind Elk City. McKinley Elwick, there's twins here, McKinley and Addison Elwick. McKinley shot 83. She tied with Riley Cummins of Clinton for third. She actually won the playoffs, so she ended up third place. Riley was fourth. Addison Elwick 89, Bailey Lawless 98, Emma McCurdy 99, and Amelia Childress shot 100. But all three of those teams qualify for next week's state tournament at Blanchard down at Winter Creek. That'll be Monday and Tuesday. Shauna Gabe will be down there. We'll have updates from that girls' regional. So congrats to all three of the I-40 teams into the state tournament next week. And I haven't seen scores, but, man, it seems like Clinton has won just about every tournament they've been in all spring.
Yeah.
I wonder how serious a contender they may be next week to win the state title.
Yeah, I'm friends with a couple of their moms on Facebook and dads. I guess that's a better way of saying it. And
I bet you are, Panama Red.
growing up with them. Actually, it's crazy that now their kids are playing. But every time they post pictures, it's like the championship. They won this. They won that tournament. So
yeah, they've been dominant.
Coach Lee has got them going. Usually has. And I guess the only question is, are they for real? And we're about to find out on Monday and Tuesday if Clinton and Elk and Weatherford can contend.
Yeah, it's so weird.
I don't know anything about – I don't know who else. I haven't looked at the other regions.
Yeah, I haven't either.
Who's there and I'm sure there's some private schools there.
Yeah, and you always get a Hilldale. Seems like they're always good. Or Plainview. Plainview has been really good in the past.
Yeah. But we like it when it's good out here.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and clearly it is.
Winter Creek, tough golf course. Next Monday, too. It's so weird. You know, the schedule has changed with golf to where the girls are going to play not only regionals but finish their state tournament before the boys even play regionals. Hmm. That is so different than it's been in the past. Because usually it goes like a Wednesday regional for the girls, a Monday regional that next week for the boys, and then like a Wednesday, Thursday or whatever for the state tournament. This year, girls' golf will be done by the time boys' golf starts their playoffs. And another regional here next Wednesday at Oak City Golf and Country Club.
Is that because of course availability?
I don't know.
Building in days for weather, contingency plans, or just how it falls?
It's just the change that they made. It's very interesting. Also, 2A. Girls Golf Regional over in Clinton yesterday. The Merritt Oilerettes are also headed to the state tournament in Class 2A, which that'll be Monday and Tuesday in Weatherford. But Merritt finishes third in their regional behind Moreland's 347, Hooker shot 372, the Oilerettes 385 to finish third. Back to the state tournament again. Individually, Madison Robinson had 90, Miley Flowers 91, Peyton Broadmint 95, then Traylee McCain 109, and Macy Lloyd 111. But the Oilerettes back to the 2A state tournament, as I mentioned, that'll be over at Prairie West in Weatherford next Monday and Tuesday.
Keep going to state tournaments.
It's rolling.
Those Merritt girls over there. Who's their coach?
Coach, I can't believe you asked me that. Just flew out. Heath Stair. Coach Stair.
Okay.
Yeah, it just flew right out of my mind, and I grabbed it and put it back in.
Where are they ranked?
I have no idea. I don't see the girls' golf rankings. I'd say they're third. Or did they go in unranked?
I don't know.
Depends on
Cinderella story.
Depends on if it's boys or girls.
Oh, boy.
So that's the girls' golf from yesterday. Regional tournament's completed.
Then where did you say 2A State's at?
Weatherford.
Is that Weatherford?
Good. It is at Weatherford. 4A is at Blanchard.
And Monday, Tuesday,
Winter
same
Creek,
day?
Yeah, Monday, Tuesday.
Well, maybe Sean could pop in and ask him.
Monday, Tuesday there. He'll be at Blanchard. And then I know that Snake Chenault on the boys' side,
yeah,
he qualified as an individual to go to regionals.
Well, I didn't
clearly
know.
Got his golf game from somebody other than his dad.
Yeah, I would say.
No doubt about that one.
I didn't know he golfed. I thought is he the bike rider? The
he's
the motocross guy?
He's done it all.
He's doing it all.
And he'll tell you about it, too. He'll tell you how good he is at all of it. Well,
clearly, he can back it up.
If you're wondering, just ask him.
He can back it up. Text line's blowing up.
Not surprised with who's answering either. Okay, so baseball yesterday. There was a few regionals that got going trying to beat the weather. In 4A, man, what a crazy game Weatherford played in game one against Ardmore. They're at Chickasha. Chickasha was that runner-up in District 4 they're hosting. Weatherford played Ardmore in the first game. It was 8-8 in the bottom of the sixth. Ardmore was the home team. They hit a solo home run to take a 9-8 lead. Mm. Then Weatherford comes back in the top of the seventh with eight.
Oh.
Eight run top of the seventh to take a 16-9 lead. Then Ardmore scored two and had a couple of guys on when the final out was recorded. So Weatherford beats Ardmore 16-11. They played Chickasha. Chickasha beat Weatherford 7-2. Ardmore won last night, so we're going to get Weatherford and Ardmore again this afternoon, elimination game, and then whoever wins that one is going to have to beat Chickasha twice in order to move on to the area/super regionals in 4A baseball. In Class A, Canute Trojans in the driver's seat of their regional down in Caddo as they beat DePue 5-4, then shut out Caddo 12-0. Canute got great pitching in both games. Lane Gredeman in game one gave up a four spot, I think, in the second or third inning, and then nothing else. Canute scored one in the fourth. Luke Spitz drew a bases-loaded walk in the top of the seventh for a 5-4 lead that they held on to win. And then game two, Jake Butler was incredible. 11 strikeouts, two walks, only gave up two hits, shutting out the top-ranked or the top seed in the regional, Caddo, 12-0. So the Trojans in the driver's seat. DePue, and I assume DePue won. I didn't see a score on OSSA rankings, but I'm going to guess DePue and Caddo will play. Winner has to beat Canute twice. So the Trojans one step away from the Class A baseball state tournament. Other action, Sentinel's still alive. They lost to Dewar 17-4. They beat Stonewall 19-7. Sentinel will play Drumright today. Win that, then they got to beat Dewar twice in order to advance to the Class A state tournament. I saw one score for Cheyenne Raiden. They got beat 11-1 by Union City. Didn't see anything else, so I'll kind of have to dig around for that. Class B baseball, Granite in the driver's seat as they beat Frontier 6-2 and Caney 10-7. So the Panthers one win away from the Class B baseball state tournament. Leedy lost to Lomega, beat Covington Douglas. They lost 6-2, won 11-1. Now Leedy and Lomega will play each other. Winner of that has to beat Kiowa twice to make it into the Class B baseball state tournament. And then in softball, Canute is in the state tournament, as is Shattuck. Canute beat Fletcher 14-1. Shattuck beat Sealing 18-3. And then they turn around a slugfest as Shattuck clips Canute 16-5, but then Canute turned around and beat Fletcher 16-1. So Canute and Shattuck both into the Class A slow pitch state tournament. Mountain View Godibeau is in the Class B one, as they had two easy wins, 15-0 over Ryan, 14-1 against Scheidler. So number one in Class B is Mountain View Godibeau, and they are headed to the state tournament. There's tons of action today all across baseball and slow pitch softball. And, of course, right here in Elk City, 1:30, we have the Big Elks and Purcell, and then at 4 o'clock, the Big Elks and McLeod. That's Class A. That's Class 4A regional action from Ackley Park. And guess what, Jared? We'll be there.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Big Elk TV will have live streaming of that regional. First game, as mentioned, Elk City and Purcell. They'll actually play. Purcell and McLeod will play at 11 for the first game of the day. And the way this is going to work, there's only three teams in this regional. So it's not like a classic four-team double elimination bracket. Here's what happens. McLeod will play Purcell. Then the Elks will play both of those. If one team wins both games they play today, they're in the finals. And that would then mean that one of the other teams won one and lost one, and somebody lost both.
So the team with the one win.
The team with one win will play whoever plays wins both tomorrow.
What time's that one?
It's listed at 4.
Oh, okay.
I don't know that there's been any update to that time. If there is, we'll tell you about it.
Yeah.
4 and 6:30, I think, is the if game tomorrow.
The if is at 6:30.
Yes. So that's the way it's originally scheduled. I haven't seen or heard anything about updates to times, but it wouldn't shock me, considering where Purcell and where McLeod are.
They move it up.
If that doesn't get moved up to earlier tomorrow.
Get it done. The whole weather thing. Yeah.
So anyhow, we'll let you know if that changes, and I don't have my phone sitting here. You know, I might be able to do that as soon as the break is over, but don't. You got something?
You're asking about Canute's possible opponent.
Yes.
Winner of DePue and Caddo.
Yeah, it's winner of DePue and Caddo. Yeah. I never saw. Yeah, that's who it is. They play today.
They play at 10 today.
Yeah, I was looking for. Cheyenne. That's the one I didn't see. I just saw one of their scores.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, DePue and Caddo will play to play Canute. That's right. Anything else? Oh, so that's high school. Last thing, locally. Yesterday, Big 12 men's golf tournament down at Whispering Pines in Trinity, Texas. Texas Longhorns go out in style as far as the Big 12 goes as they win their final Big 12 conference tournament by 18 shots over Oklahoma. They dominated the last 2 days, firing a 13-under round on Tuesday and then a 12-under round yesterday after an even par first two. So they finished 25-under, way 18 shots ahead of second-place Oklahoma. Oklahoma's second at minus 7, and then OSU was third back at minus 2. But of local interest, our main man, true freshman Ryder Cowan, ties for fourth overall. He goes 71-75 on Monday, which was 1-under, 3-over. So he went into Tuesday at 2-over par. Tuesday, he shoots a bogey-free 67, 5-under, to vault him up near the top 10. And then yesterday, even par going into number 14, and he makes birdie on 14, birdie on 15, birdie on 16, birdie on 17, pars 18 for a 68, and a tie for fourth at 7-under, just two shots off what would eventually be the champion. And Ryder also is named to the all-tournament team as a true freshman at OU. Congratulations to him. I shot him a couple texts yesterday. He's obviously excited. His family's excited.
That's awesome.
For good reason. But yeah. That's really, really cool.
That's just the beginning, man.
See, a true freshman on a team like that, you know, Oklahoma's been one of the better programs around the country since Ryan Hibble has been there, a decade or so. And for him to be able to do that, especially those last 2 days, down at a really tough golf course, congrats to him, man. That's really, really awesome. Now we'll see where OU goes regional-wise, OSU goes regional-wise, and then eventually see if they can make it into the national tournament. But, you know, he's a good kid. Grew up here, and, man, I know there's lots of people super proud, super happy for him. All right, that's kind of the local scene. Hanging out here on a Thursday. Don't forget Big Elk Baseball coming up on Big Elk TV, 1:30 and 4 o'clock. Purcell is the first opponent. McLeod the second in a 4A baseball regional tournament here from Mackley Park. Come on out. I'm sure a big crowd will be on hand this afternoon to see the Big Elks try to make a school. They're attempting to make school history.
What's that? Going to state 3 years?
3 years in a row? It's never happened. There's been four times, this is the fifth, where they've went back-to-back years, but never three in a row. Today is the first step toward accomplishing that goal here at Ackley Park. 1:30 against Purcell, and then, of course, 4 o'clock versus McLeod.
Oh, okay. The text line asking if we're going to have the radar showing. I first read that thinking, are we going to have a radar?
Hey, we could do that, too. We've done that before in football.
The leather. We have put
the Mesonet.
The Mesonet radar on the broadcast before. But I like that. We don't have access to
there will be plenty of them right in front of us.
Sure, yeah.
Maybe we need it like the webcam on the computer to zoom in on one of the scouts that'll be in it. Because you know, if you haven't been there when Cash is thrown this year, which he's going to throw against Purcell, as far as I know, what I was told.
That's game one.
That's game one. Yeah, at 1:30.
By a really good source.
By a pretty reliable source, I would say.
Antonio Brown told you this.
But if you haven't been there this year when he throws, you better get there. If you want any chance to sit by us, which will be right behind the plate.
Yeah.
If you want any shot at that, you probably ought to just go ahead and watch Purcell and McLeod at 11. I think last time when Cash threw, there was 44 scouts in attendance. And, of course, they all want to sit right behind the plate.
Wait a minute. How many Major League Baseball teams are there?
They're sending multiples.
Okay. It's like, wait, that math doesn't add up.
Yeah, I think.
Are there some scouts from Japan coming over, or they send the minor league affiliates too?
I just think there's. It's getting to the point where maybe, you know, a scout's telling the upper management people,
you guys need to be here.
Maybe somebody needs to come watch this. But yeah, we can absolutely do that. I'm sure we'll be in eyesight of a gun, a Jugs gun.
Last year we were kind of.
So I think we would probably be able to say, that was a 96-mile-an-hour fastball in the outside corner. That's a very real possibility.
Somebody's going to say, we need the – because you see in the big league games where you see
to have it pop up.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know how to do that.
Well, we can fiddle with it throughout the day.
It is baseball. You got some time between pitches.
That's exactly right. question on my text line and yours as well. Who's the biggest threat to the Elks? Tuttle Blanchard. Marlowe's good. Chickasha's good. You know, there's some teams around that are very, very – they're good, but – I think if most people around the state would say Tuttle, Blanchard, Elk City in some order are the top three.
I agree.
That's what and like you said, Marlowe, Chickasha.
Sometimes we overlook teams from the East, but I've been kind of keeping tabs, at least record-wise, and they're not as dominant as they have been in the past. I think it is on this side of the state that would bring home the title and its usual suspects, including Oak City, like you just said, going for a third state tournament. And I think they got a mission to get to Saturday.
Yeah, I think you got that. We'll see how the rankings are after the regional. Because what happens, it's a different format in 4A this year than it's ever been. Mm-hmm. The regional is first. Used to be like a bye district, best two out of three series, and then that went into regionals, and then a four-team double elimination. This year, regionals is first. Three-teamer here because of a lack of a team in one of the other districts that would have fed into it. But then after that, there would be 16 regionals around the state. The winners and the coaches of those winning teams will then vote in their top 16 of all the teams that win the regionals. Those votes will be compiled, and then from there we'll have kind of the rankings. And then that goes into the state tournament. So come
seeding-wise.
Yeah. So come Sunday or Monday when all that's released, you'll know how the bracket will set up.
Will there be a ranking? Like, will it say the coaches all voted Elk City, for instance, number one, Tuttle two?
And that's how it'll be seeded.
Okay.
So then you'll have, one in 16. It'd be just like the softball or the baseball
is in college.
But
that's how I'm looking at it. That's, if anyone's asking, well, how's this new playoff format works? Like, well, if you watch college softball, that's
exactly
how it works.
How it is. And regional, baseball, same way.
Super regional, World Series. It's regional, area, state.
That's exactly
same
right.
Same format.
Exact same format. Except for instead of some committee making the seeding, the coaches of those winning teams will basically determine the seeding. I can't wait to see how that falls. That's going to be really interesting. So that's how that's going to work. Is Gino able to pitch yet? No. Hasn't. I'll tell you that.
Hasn't all year.
Has not. Which, that's just another arm. I mean, you were doing the pitching stats yesterday trying to get ready. There's a bunch of dudes that have thrown. A
lot of kids have thrown.
Yeah, it's not – I mean, Cash is obviously amazing, but there's some other guys that have really held their own on the mound for the Elks this season. So, NBA playoffs. Last night, hey country, hey world, welcome to the new edition of the Thunder. That is what we've seen all year long. Sharing the basketball, multiple guys putting up at least 20. I think there were three last night. Double-digit scores, threes flying in from everywhere, almost a 50% night from behind the arc. Unselfish, fun, barking, all of it. And just an absolute demolition, 124-92 of the New Orleans Pelicans. We were fairly outside of the first 3 minutes of the game, but also the first 3 minutes of the game is why I said what I said yesterday about how the Thunder need to play this and who needs to be important. And to me, the most important guy is Chet Holmgren on the offensive end. Because if he can do what he did last night, 15 in the first quarter, 20 in the first half, and what does that do? It drives Jonas Valanciunas to the bench. We saw in the early going, the Thunder have no answer for that dude. He is Paul Bunyan. And the Babe the Blue Ox wasn't in the Thunder uniforms last night, right? But with Chet's effectiveness on offense, Willie Green knows that he has to make changes and Valanciunas can't play. It's so reminiscent to me of a reverse from Thunder years past when Oklahoma City was playing Houston that first year after KD left. Westbrook was amazing. Enes Kanter was great on offense, but a sieve on defense. And there's that classic moment where Billy Donovan looked at one of his assistants and said, "We can't play Kanter because you're giving up twos for threes." And that's kind of the way it was with Valanciunas last night. He was awesome at first, but Chet knocked down a few shots, and next thing you know, he only plays 23 minutes. And without that advantage for New Orleans, then you get into more of an up-tempo, guard-oriented game, and it's going to be hard for about anybody to beat the Thunder in one of those.
I liked how the game was established early, and then clearly Valanciunas was trying to establish dominance over Chet. Does he have like 40 pounds on him, maybe more?
Oh, 100.
And Chet never backed down from that. That was kind of cool for me to see. And then as that game wore on, it continued, and there was that one sequence where he went into Chet like three times, shoulder right to his chest, and sure, Chet gave up ground, got the shot off, but Chet timed it, swatted it, and that was the game in a nutshell.
Yep.
Chet wasn't backing down from him, and that swat, that block, was more than just a block. It was a message saying, you're going to do that to me, that's fine. I'm going to still reject you. You can beat me up all you want, but I'm not backing down from bully ball. Well, I think Trammell wrote that perfectly in his column this morning. So that was big for me because he's a rookie. I know he's a second-year rookie, a redshirt rookie, whatever they call it. But this is his first playoff experience. I mean, it is. And he's settling in. And that whole team settled in. I think we expected that yesterday, too, and we're kind of quickly previewing it, was what we expect. And I said, I'll give it up to myself. I said, I think they settle in. The first game is behind them. The jitters are gone, and we're going to see more of what we've seen all season long, and we got it.
Yeah, that was the team that, for the folks that tuned in on Sunday and saw the first game, it was a game that wasn't the Thunder. Last night, it was on full display.
Yep.
And so 2-0 lead heading back to New Orleans. Game 3 is at 2:30 on Saturday afternoon. Oklahoma City in a great spot now. New Orleans had to beat them 4 out of 5, with 2 of those being on the Thunder's home floor. Yeah, 2. I guess they don't have to win 2, but they're going to have to win 1 in Oklahoma City for sure. But a really good spot for the Oklahoma City Thunder with the 2-0 lead. Shea was amazing. I mean, that shot that he made in the first half, when he saw it in real time, you're thinking, did he just make that from behind the backboard? And then as kind of the highlights throughout the night on Twitter or whatever I saw this morning, you get kind of a baseline view of that shot. And it's like me in the driveway beating Wyatt at horse. Except for
trick shots. Yeah,
except for he was floating with Brandon Ingram's hand in his face. And he's still just over the corner of the backboard and nothing but net. And he kind of glanced over at the crowd in the video I saw and just kind of smiled like.
You like that?
Yeah, I did that. You know, he was great. Chet was great. J-Dub is kind of announcing himself to the entirety of NBA basketball fans as a true budding star. You know, he's kind of lost in a lot of the shuffle, obviously with SGA and the MVP, and then you got the Chet Wimby thing for the rookie of the year and that rivalry that might or might not be a thing. People don't realize, and even Thunder fans might forget at times, just how good Jalen Williams really is. To be a second option as a second year guy and have his poise and basically just the perfect complement to SGA. Allows SGA to play off the ball a little bit more last night and not have to shoulder the entire load of the offense. I think that's another thing that Giddey is really good at as well, just kind of his playmaking ability and taking a little bit of the pressure off of SGA, just time in, time out with Herb Jones trying to ridicule him 94 feet. That really helps the Thunder offense and get other guys involved. And man, it was awesome last night. Absolutely awesome.
And Lou Dort's defense continued to shine. He just taken, I mean, making Ingram a non-factor, basically. And
now, Ingram 5 of 10 last night, but it was so quiet.
Yeah. I mean, when did they come? I wasn't keeping track. Was it when the game was over or out of hand or whatever? And back to J-Dub, a lot of people forget he was the runner-up for Rookie of the Year. You know, this isn't a lot, you know, and again, kind of falls into your narrative of, hey, welcome rest of the nation to something we've been watching for the last now 2 seasons with that, with him and now with Chet. Fun time to be a Thunder fan.
Yeah, there's no doubt about
it. You know, so up 2-0, the series shifts over to New Orleans, afternoon game Saturday. You know, last night the Talking Heads, Shaq, he's already put him in the Western Conference Finals. I'm not ready to mash down on the gas pedal just yet for that. But, you know, what's the expectation here with this series anyways? A lot of people said in 5. I mean, they take it on Saturday. Are we gonna start pulling out the brooms? Does that change what we think this team can do? As based on what we're seeing in L.A. and Dallas, I mean, do they really have a shot to get to the Western Conference Finals?
I think so. You know,
I mean, it's 2 games. I'm not trying to get crazy here.
Sure.
But they look really good, and that's what we expect. If they could play like what we've seen, like we've seen more often than not this season, they're going to be a tough out for either the Lakers or Dallas, or Clippers or Dallas.
You think, or I would think, that the matchups – you know, LA's got Zubac as far as a post player. It's a really interesting thing. to project forward. Because I think a lot, I think your head tells you you'd rather play Dallas because of what the Clippers have. But at the same time, when you watch Kawhi Leonard last night or two nights ago, the Clippers aren't nearly as scary right this second as what their names would tell you they ought to be. And who couldn't see the emotion get the better of Russ, right?
Mm-hmm.
Trying to prove something and him just shoot the Clippers out of a game or two, especially here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, here.
Yeah.
Not like a revenge, but just, I don't know. That would be an emotional series for everybody involved, really.
It's an interesting thought because I think, you know, going into this series and even after Sunday, I think a lot of people thought, okay, win this series. Next one in the semifinals is going to be really tough against veteran teams, either Dallas or Clippers, and you know maybe that's the end of the road. Then all of a sudden you watch two games, the Dallas Clippers game on Tuesday, and then that last night, and you're going, "Why hell? Which one of these teams can beat Oklahoma City?" You know, you kind of get that's the way these series go, though.
Yeah,
you know, you kind of get caught up in what happened last night. And rightfully some ways.
Even
but,
in the East, what happened? And it makes I mean, your mind starts to go, well, how good really is this team? If they can get some lucky breaks and get some formidable matchups in each round, I mean, who's to say we don't want to play Denver? They had success against them in the regular season.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's fun. That's why we're in the playoffs. But it's fun to where every game matters and not just in Oklahoma City or New Orleans. It's throughout the country and the landscape of it, of what that could mean for the Thunder and the possibilities of them making a deep run. I mean, we said going into the playoffs, whatever happens at this point is a bonus, right? It's getting to, you know, so the next step is to win a series. Are we just happy now with just winning a series?
Yeah.
Is our expectation, should it be higher for what we know they can do?
Maybe today, but then if Saturday goes the Pelicans' way, we're going to be in here Monday. Monday going, uh-oh, if they lose tonight, then all of a sudden it's a three-game series.
Right, right.
And then losing the series is back on the table. So it's just kind of the ebbs and flows of the NBA playoffs, but that's where it's at right now. You mentioned the East. How about Miami? Miami takes the home court advantage away from Boston, the 8 and the 1. Interesting, last night, the only two games were the 1s and the 8s, and it couldn't have gone any differently for the 1 seed in the West versus the 1 seed in the East. Miami wins 111-101. Do you start to kind of think, could this be a replay of last year in which the Heat, as the 8 seed, upset the 1 seed en route to the NBA Finals? Or is it just one of those things where it's just one game, Boston will figure it out and take care of it?
I don't know. That's been kind of the knock on Boston, is really good team, poor playoff performances. I don't know if I'm want to – they're so good. And I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know what to think of it.
Yeah.
I just like seeing it. It just kind of shows they are beatable. You know, they're not invincible. And you're right. I mean, give Spoelstra a lot of credit. I mean, he's been the one constant there, even going way back to the LeBron day. Him and Pat Riley. And they find ways to get it done.
You know, there's certain teams.
But, man, Hero was awesome. His shooting was awesome.
Yeah. I mean, Jaime Jaquez, isn't he fun?
Yeah.
You know, there's a couple of franchises that you hear the word culture. Mm-hmm. Kind of bandied about in the NBA, and the Heat are absolutely one of those.
Yeah, even before.
This is without Jimmy Butler.
Right, yeah.
That's what's crazy.
That is nuts.
But they just kind of find ways to win. They obviously did that last night, 111-101. So, of the teams that won a road game.
And by the way, after that result, I almost texted, uh-oh, another road team. Mm-hmm. It looks like it's trending all for the road teams now.
Yeah, it went, 12 in a row for the home teams and three straight road wins. Obviously last night the Thunder snapped that. So of the three road teams, who do you actually give the best chance to win the series, which is Indiana, Dallas, or Miami?
Well, I will – Man, as dysfunctional as the Clippers look, I will lean towards the Pacers because of no Giannis.
Oh, I don't think it's any doubt that's the answer. I don't think there's any doubt Indiana has the best chance to win. Now, depending on Kawhi's health, I mean, honestly, if I'm the Clippers and I see what happened in game one versus game two, I seriously consider telling Kawhi, listen, man, you're a great player. You're the best player we got, but not at 70%, you're not. Rest it up until you get healthy. Because I think it totally threw off everything they established in game one. Obviously, Zubac getting in foul trouble early in game two messed with the way that that game went versus game one. I mean, he just dominated in the post against Dallas in game one, but then he was saddled with foul trouble early, and that kind of got things off to a rocky start. And then Kawhi looking like an old man didn't help. But I would rank it Indiana 1, Dallas 2, Miami 3. Do you give any team that lost both games on the road much of a chance? If so, who?
Maybe the Magic when they get back to Orlando.
Who are they playing? I didn't know they're in the playoffs.
You serious, Clark? Cleveland?
Well, I mean,
I don't know. Lakers don't have a shot. Maybe the Magic. Let's just throw them a bone because nobody's talking about them, so let's talk about them. Maybe the Magic in Philly.
I'd say Philly would be the one that, as far as the competitiveness of the first two games, they were clearly – I mean, they could be up 2-0 just as easy as the Knicks are. Mm-hmm. But once again, it's not quite as bad as Kawhi because Embiid is still making – he's making a difference, but he's not making the difference that he has to make in order for them to win. You know, the guy didn't get a rebound in the second half of that game of game two. After snatching 10. I mean, it's just his body is betraying him. He's not healthy. And it shows you how dadgum good he is, that he can be out there at about 60% and still do what he's doing with, what, 34-10? The closeness of it would say Philly, just how close they were to winning each of those games in the Garden. Out west, I mean, it looks like Phoenix is sunk. And it's hard to imagine the Lakers winning 4 out of 5 against Denver when they've lost 10 straight playoff games to them, right? Or 10 straight games to them. So, I think it has to, if it happens, I think it has to come out of the East. You may be right. Maybe it's Orlando. Maybe it's Philly.
It's the last time Orlando's hosted a playoff game.
Oh, my gosh. Probably the year they made it. Around that time they made it to the finals with Dwight Howard in, what, 2009? When they played the Lakers? Somewhere in there, maybe a little after, but they haven't been very good in a long time.
Yeah. And
they're one of those young ones. There's about 4 or 5 around the league. Oklahoma City, Orlando, Houston, San Antonio eventually.
So I think I like maybe their fans are going to be amped up and
ready
to
– a return.
Know. Yeah.
Cleveland's just a weird team. Cleveland's pretty good. They're pretty good.
Everyone kind of forgets – Mitchell's there, you know.
Yeah, because everybody's trying to figure out where he's going next.
Yeah.
NFL draft coming up round one tonight. You know, if we get done with Big Elk Baseball early enough to be able to go catch a little bit of the draft, you know where I'm headed, Jared?
The Boomtown Grill,
the
of course.
The Boomtown Grill. Thursday.
It's Thursday.
It's Thursday. 50-cent boneless wing night. 50-cent boneless wings tonight, today, all day long, the Thursday special at the Boomtown Grill. Your choices of sauces are immense. You've got mild chipotle, sriracha, garlic parmesan. My personal favorite is the mango habanero. You've got hot barbecue, kicking bourbon, sweet red chili is good. There's all kinds of really good flavors. Whatever you like, they've got it. Boomtown Grill, 50-cent boneless chicken wings today. Perfect spot to sit down in front of one of their 12 big screen TVs and enjoy the Thursday night special of 50-cent chicken wings and the first round of the NFL draft. Appreciate our friends at Boomtown, open 7 days a week. 11 to 10 Thursday through Sunday through Thursday, 11 to 11 on Fridays and Saturdays.
Where do you get those to go?
Yes. The answer to that is yes. I've seen that happen. I've been there in person when that's happened.
If my plans tonight change.
Weather.
I might just give them a call, pick up some Boomtown, and go watch the draft.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Get some wings. Man, they were good. I had them last for lunch last week. Had a little lunch date with my wife and got me some of those wings. Man, so good.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Not just the wings, though. The pizza's good.
Oh, they're all so good.
The blowout. It's kind of a meat lover's pizza. Oh, it's good. The chicken nachos are great.
I don't golf a lot, but I've found when I do, I like, after a round of golf, I like to go to Boomtown to cool off with the beer at the bar and watch whatever sport's on.
Absolutely.
With whoever I'm golfing with, and just to recap our round and have some fun.
Sweet tea is delicious.
Yeah.
Everything at Boomtown's awesome. Yep. Burgers, pastas, sandwiches. Perfect spot to sit down and watch the first round of the NFL draft. It will go on tonight from Detroit. Detroit, Michigan. First pick. When does it start?
Is Eminem going to be there? Is he going to open it up with a rap or something?
Surely.
Yeah.
Is there more of a mortal lock than that?
I mean, if I have to hear Lose Yourself at a sporting event, come on. Seems predictable, but I have a feeling that's what we're going to see or hear.
That might be
the most on-point predictable thing about tonight. Eminem will be there to rap Lose Yourself, or you will hear the song.
I don't see how it doesn't happen.
Because without Eminem, why are we going to Detroit?
Well, Motown.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Right here, some of that.
Motown.
Motown music. Let's see, 7 o'clock, our time. I finally found it. 7 o'clock, our time. We all know that Caleb Williams will be number one. Our resident Redskin / Commander fan, AJ, wants anybody but J.J. McCarthy. I have a feeling he's going to get Jaden Daniels with the number two pick. Then suspense builds. Lots of people think that the first four picks will be quarterbacks. Obviously, that means Arizona trades with somebody for that to happen. I personally don't think that's going to happen.
The potential of a trade. You don't think that's going to happen?
I don't think Arizona is going to trade because I'm afraid, at least for them. Now, they pulled off it was an awesome video yesterday I watched on Twitter showing Monty Ossenfort, who is their GM, and the conversations that he had last year in moving that pick to Houston and gaining more. It just kind of showed that process in the war. It was a really cool video. They get the chart out, which the value of the picks and all that kind of stuff. Really, really cool. I just don't know that they're going to be wheeling and dealing. Because I think that the teams that would want to get there drop them too far in order to be able to get one of the three wide receivers that feel like they're in a class ahead of everybody else.
So what you're saying,
Harrison Odunze, yeah, and Neighbors.
You're saying this was part of their process. They want to be in this spot.
I think they want one of those three receivers. I'm sure they have a preference. But if you go down to 11, let's say with Minnesota, then that's probably too far down to be able to get one of those guys. No. And then now what are you going to do? So I have a feeling that they're going to stay put and draft Marvin Harrison. Maybe not. Maybe somebody gives them an offer that they can't refuse. But I think it even starts at 3. New England, clearly quarterback is a need. Do they like Drake May? Or will somebody give them some sort of offer that they can't refuse and they move down, gain more assets, and try to start restocking their cupboard with talent?
And this is who you're talking about?
New England.
New England. No, I think they say right there. New coach, new quarterback, new era. That's what I think is happening.
Where will J.J. McCarthy go?
He'll go high. I think he will stay in the top 10. I think there's enough. I don't think it's all smoke with the rumors we're hearing of where he could wind up. Now, one mock, this latest mock right here, it says Minnesota trading up to get him.
Where?
At 8.
With Atlanta?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And you've said, and this might be the perfect landing spot for him because of what is built around him.
Oh, yeah.
It would almost be just like he was at Michigan. He had a lot of people around him. You know, I almost equate him as a guy, kind of like a Jason White, who was really, really good but had great talent around him. I'm not saying Jason White would have been successful in NFL if he was on a better team, but, you know, kind of a just a distributor, good solid ball player. But if he can get his – if that was where he could get his start in the NFL until he could get acclimated to it, that could be a great spot for him.
Well, it's going to be for somebody.
But I really have no answer for your question, honestly. I it's such a crapshoot. I'll just vaguely and broadly tell you I think top 10. I just – maybe in the lower top 10 area. Now, who needs him, you know? I mean, that – do the Giants? You kind of brought them into question. I think they're committed to their quarterback, to Jones. Just from the stuff I've seen him talk about in the offseason, he's had some press conferences and stuff. Feels like they're going to still stay committed to him. Or they could draft him and say, this guy's going to be behind you. But that, why would you draft a backup quarterback in the?
Well, at number six. I don't know.
Where did the Packers – help me here. You're good with this. Where did the Packers draft
Jordan Love?
Jordan Love.
20s.
Okay. Where did they draft
– 20s.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers, 20s. Like 24. 22 or 24, something like that.
If McCarthy doesn't – I'm sorry. Yeah. If McCarthy doesn't go to the top 10, he will fall.
He's going 11. If he doesn't go in the top 10, he is going 11. The Minnesota Vikings – I mean, they're probably
they're
hoping and praying they don't have to move. Like, if he makes it all the way there, I'm not sure. Is it the Giants? You're starting to hear smoke that the Giants wouldn't mind trading down and getting into a better position where it makes more sense for them to draft Michael Penix. There's some smoke around that too.
Pay him less.
You know, something that was so brilliant yesterday. How about the day that the Lions had? Re-signing both Penei Sewell and Amon-Ra St. Brown. Not only re-signing those guys, but also doing it first. Like, for instance, yesterday cost Minnesota, Cincinnati, and Dallas money. You know why? Because Amon-Ra St. Brown in Detroit set the market, and so now Dallas and CD, Ja'Marr Chase and Cincinnati, you know what I'm saying? They're going to have to... Like the market is set.
They're going to have to pay.
And so Detroit made money yesterday by paying that out. Penei Sewell the same way. He sets the left tackle market now, and everybody else has to beat it. Brilliant by Detroit. Absolutely brilliant. I don't know about you. You think there will be six first-round quarterbacks taken? Tie in the record of 1983?
No.
I don't either.
I've gone back on that. At first I did. I don't think
Bo Nix is going to be drafted in the first round.
I don't either.
I do think there will be five.
Yeah,
someone's going to take Penix. I just don't know if anybody will pull the trigger on Bo Nix. Who will Dallas take at 24?
A lineman. I don't know who though.
Kind of depends on who's there.
Yeah,
I mentioned the Barton guy from Duke. He can play center. He can play tackle. I think they'd really like a tackle. Could that be Tyler Guyton of OU? Could it be Amarius Mims of Georgia?
I really lean on Mox, and a lot of them have Guyton there.
Yeah.
A lot of them like Guyton falling there.
I think it just depends on if he's available or not.
That's why I said fall.
Kind of have their, I've seen him as high as like 14 or so, all in the first round, just kind of depending on kind of who likes him, what have you. So that's who we think they will take. Who do you want them to take? Them being the Dallas Cowboys at 24.
I mean, I again would be okay with Guyton. I just don't see anyone else falling into that. I think that anyone better is already going to be taken. It would be really cool to see Brock Bowers.
Oh, gosh.
That name just popped up on a list here.
Oh, gosh.
He's nowhere going to fall there unless Dallas – make some moves to get up. They've been very quiet in the offseason, and I've said it before, could that mean something's happening tonight? I don't know. Or they're just building up. I mean, they got to pay some guys, so that's why they're...
That's right. They got to pay some guys.
They got to pay guys.
Three guys in particular are at the top of that list. Micah Parsons, CeeDee Lamb, and obviously Dak Prescott.
Like, I want to give you an answer, but there's no realistic answer. I don't want to... Like, oh, Jared, come on. That's a pipe dream. Like I said, Bowers, right? That's not happening.
You know who I want him to take?
Who's that?
Michael Penix.
You want the quarterback.
Absolutely. Let's have a jumping off point for Dak Prescott now. Because you're going to have to pay.
I mean, that could help Dak if you think about it. Like, hey, you know, we got your replacement.
See you, bye.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, a lot of people are kind of playing the card of, well, watch out. You never know what you wish for with, you know, it took forever to find. Who cares? Who cares if it takes five? Who cares if it's not even Penix? Who cares if it takes 5 years to find a starting quarterback capable of winning in the playoffs? We already know the one they got now doesn't.
Yep.
He's not capable. What do you have to lose? Another first-round game at home?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Who cares? I would much rather take the shot of Penix being good for $3 million a year than the same old crap with Dak Prescott at 60. No thanks. I'm done with it. I'm done.
I was done as soon as the clock went zero against the Packers.
Done with it. As a Cowboys fan, done. And there's not somebody, you mentioned, you know, Bowers would be a pipe dream, but there's not a guy, the truth of it is, drafting at 24, there's not necessarily a guy that's going to make the difference between winning and losing a playoff game next year because you have the bum at quarterback that's going to lose it for you. So, that being said, draft his replacement. And then go into this year with Dak having to prove himself for somebody else. I mean, I'm dead serious about this. The only way that I think it makes any sense in the world for Dallas to re-sign Dak Prescott is if they go to the damn Super Bowl. That's it.
Yeah.
Not even title game. I'm talking about go to the Super Bowl, then maybe you can go ahead and pay Dak. Otherwise, no. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So give me – my hope is that they take Michael Penix because I think that he has shown he has an NFL arm. Now his knees are scary, scary, scary. Mm-hmm. But, once again, who cares? We know it's been proven what is there. And what is there is not capable of taking you to the promised land. And he's damn sure not worth $60 million a year.
Wholeheartedly agree.
So, anyhow, that's what I hope happens. That's what I hope happens.
Yep.
It's going to be fun to watch. We'll find out. It's going to be fun to watch tonight, 7 o'clock. Pick number one with Caleb Williams going to Chicago. But before that, 1:30 this afternoon, Big Elk TV. The Big Elks in Purcell at 1:30. Big Elks in McLeod at 4 o'clock. Come on out to Ackley Park and watch it live. If not, tune in. BigElkTV.com. We'll have that live regional action for you this afternoon.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way!